everyone, and welcome to New Consciousness, New World. This is your host, Esperanza Ray, and today we have a guest. Before I introduce our guest, I'm going to bring your attention to the BBS website if you want to call in and participate in the conversation in the last half hour of the program, in other words, 8:30. So we would love to hear from you. Or you're welcome also to comment on the BBS blog or to researchcia.com and comment on there as well, whichever you prefer. And now I'm going to introduce our guest, Charles Campbell, better known as Charlie Campbell. Can you hear me, Charlie?
Yes, I can, Esperanza.
Okay, great. I wanted to welcome you to the show. Charlie is a very good friend of mine who we met through the Silva Mind Control at the time, now known as the Silva Method, although it has changed quite a bit. It's not quite the same as what originally we had learned. And today we're going to talk about imagination and visualization, one versus the other, what they are. And Charlie here has a very good, great gift in visualization, but it wasn't always like that. So, Charlie, do you want to give us a little bit of a background on how all of this came about?
Well, the visualization part came, I believe, through it was sort of like an exercise. Started out with guided meditations, and I was at different meditation groups from the late 90s, you know, up until the present. And whoever was taking care of the meditation, they would guide us to different places. Some of them were, you know, on the earth. Other were, you know, etheric type realms. You know, depending upon you know, what their you know, guidance was telling them. So that you know, put us in the right brain frame of mind, so to speak, that so that we could, you know, get past the normal day-to-day, you know, concepts of everything had to be, you know, a certain way, you know, in real time. So we were you know, journeying, which is a shamanic term, as I know it, out into other realms, you know, with a physical guide, but our spirit guides would invariably, you know, be along with us, and other folks would call them their guardian angels, and you know, that's a little bit, you know, how it got started. And as time went by, you know, with practice, it was easier to visualize, you know, and get the most, you know, from the guided meditations, and also to be able to journey by oneself, just by, you know, setting the tone of, you know, what you wanted to achieve, whether you wanted to, you know, journey to, you know, to the mountains or to, you know, in search of, you know, one of your wise ancestors. So that's how it sort of started for me.
Yeah. Now, let's take a step back a little bit and briefly just touch upon the fact that there are different types of perception or experiencing all their other dimensions, for example. One of those is imagination, or some people say visualization. We're going to distinguish between the two and explain which is the proper term based on how you use it. Also, there's people who are kinesthetic, people who are visual, and people who are auditory. People who are auditory hear, people who are kinesthetic feel, and people who are visual see. My understanding is your experience originally was not through images. Is that correct? And you care to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, my first experience was, you know, hearing part, clairaudience, you know, some folks call it, and that has become, you know, one of the most, you know, valuable assets, you know, as to progress, you know, with developing the gifts. And I don't ask for them to be developed. It's just sort of like, you know, a practice. You know, the more you work with the, you know, the gifts, you know, through meditation or whatever your medium might be, the more proficient you become. So, for instance, if I would see something in a visual, you know, in guided meditation, you know, I would mentally ask, you know, what is this? And then through the clairaudience or the hearing part, then the message would come through. It was a nonverbal type thing, and that's, I would say, one of the most beneficial, you know, gifts that one can have is to hear their inner voice, or, you know, the messages, you know, from, you know, spirit guides and guardian angels and things of that nature.
Okay.
And then as time goes by, you know, you might pick up a few more gifts, and seeing part seems to be something that people value more highly than the others. But when you're working, you know, with your talent, they're all, I think, equally effective in, you know, accessing, you know, the spiritual realms and information that you would get. Just learn to work, you know, with your specific gift.
Yeah. That's a very good point that you bring up. Let's touch on that right after. Let's talk a little bit about what visualization is and versus imagination. From our training, I don't know if you remember in the classes how they used to tell us that the difference between visualization and imagination is, visualization is when you close your eyes and you're able to take an object that exists in the room and close your eyes, and then you're able to imagine in your mind's eye the same exact object, just as it is. You remember that?
If you're speaking about, you know, the projection into for how things feel, metals, wood, and things of that nature, or are you heading somewhere else with it?
I'm actually going a little bit more into the basics when we defined what visualization is versus imagination. And I remember Jose Silva explaining this to us, and the way he explained imagination versus visualization is, imagination is when you look at an object in the real world, you close your eyes. Let's say, for example, you're looking at an elephant. Well, visualization, you would close your eyes and you would see the gray elephant with the four legs, the trunk, and the ears. On the other hand, through imagination, you can visualize the elephant flying, or you can imagine the elephant with a pink color or even polka dots. You can decrease the trunk, you can decrease the ears, you can increase whatever you want. So basically, it's when you take an object in the real world and you mentally modify it is when you use your imagination. And the wonderful thing about the imagination is it's what connects us to the other side or the other dimensions. Now, you were talking about how they all are very important. Clairaudience, I'm better at saying the other names instead of clairaudience. And by being kinesthetic, auditory, and visual, usually when you start out practicing the projection and the mental traveling and going into different dimensions, what you basically do is you have a predominance, most people have a predominance of one or the other, which is, in my case, was the visual, and yours was the auditory. But I also remembered that you had a lot of experience with the kinesthetic. You felt things a lot, and you were very sensitive when you had your spiritual, it travels, or your projections or your dimensional traveling. So that was very interesting. And I remember also through the training that one of the things they had told us was that once you keep practicing and practicing and practicing these techniques, all of the other senses are also going to be developed. So while in the beginning you have predominance of one, eventually they all become a very active part in the process of experiencing the spiritual realm. Do you agree with that?
I would, and the kinesthetic part, one of the things that I go by that, you know, for the feeling aspect of it is that, you know, after, you know, a particularly powerful, you know, session, whether it be meditation or journeying or just a healing session, you know, from a practitioner, you'll feel that, you know, throughout your whole body, and there'll be a period of time where you have to process that new information, the changes, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because, you know, you come away, you know, a different person than when you started, and it's an enhancement, you know, as I've experienced it, you know, because people that I've been working with are very adept at, you know, what they are doing, and they have the highest good of the people that they're interacting with. So that's been the feeling part, and that's how I sort of navigate. If something doesn't feel right to me at all, then, you know, I raise, you know, the protective barriers and ask, you know, for assistance to shield from that. So it works both ways.
Right, exactly. Now, would you, if thinking back into when things started to change where you were able to use your visualization aspect more, was there a specific, or how do you remember that happening? Was it a gradual process, or was it more, it just happened all one day, you went into a meditative state or into a journeying, and all of a sudden you were able to visualize? Because I have to tell you, Charlie has the most incredible visions. They are so colorful. They're so fun. They're so joyous that I remember when he was describing some of his visions, it was just an incredible, just listening and talking about them was just really a fun experience for everyone who listened. So do you remember any of that, or do you feel it happened gradually, or do you feel it just happened all of a sudden?
Well, it was a gradual process, and I believe that, you know, when you're within a group or an environment, you know, where the energy is, you know, very strong and clear, then by virtue of the fact if it's the group energy, you're combining, you know, with everyone else, and you're able to make, you know, a leap in progress much easier than you might by yourself. And the other is to be out in nature and, you know, powerful places, and you know, they don't have to be you know, a Machu Picchu or you know, a Mayan pyramid, you know, Teotihuacan, for instance. It can just be, you know, some, you know, special place you know, close by to you. That I feel the less people that are there, because they influence, you know, the, you know, positive or negative, you know, the energy of the place. And I have a place not too far from where I live, and it's a state park that I've worked with the energy and the nature spirits, because in indigenous, you know, cultures, you know, everything has spirits, so that's not a difficult, you know, concept for me to work with now. And that's, you know, higher the energy vibration, the more, you know, progress that you'll make, you know, on your development, whether it's, you know, a visualization or whether it's imagination, you know, that the energy and your intent will help you, you know, achieve better results, you know, as time goes by.
And also, I think the experience is amplified. Now, you mentioned two different aspects of how to meditate. One is within nature, and the other one is within a group of people, because it is true that when you do things in a group, and I mean, Jesus said this in the Bible, he says, where two or more gather in my name, I will be there. It's not just Jesus being there, it's just that the energy of the group helps to amplify the vibration, the energy, the experience itself, and you get incredible results. But I thought that was very interesting that you brought up the nature aspect of it, because a lot of times we just tend to think of, you know, meditating in a quiet room, and oftentimes we forget about how wonderful it is to, you know, go out, connect with nature, and just relax. There's a soothing, not just the colors, but the actual plants themselves. I remember, not in the current house I live in, but in the previous house we lived in, we had a beautiful backyard with a lot of trees. And it was just so powerful. I would sometimes sit there in the back steps of the house and just look up at the trees as the wind moved. And I could almost experience the swaying of the trees dancing in the presence of God, and just praising God and dancing with joy and just moving along with the wind. It was just very powerful. And in the house I currently live in, we have trees, but not as many. So I haven't had the opportunity to do that. But so you have a really nice place that you can get away from. Excuse me.
Yes. One point in time, I still sit against a large, it's called tulip poplar tree. It's probably, 80 foot tall and close to 100 years old. But a natural seat, bench type seat, is made by another tree next to it. Its roots are reaching for a small, brook, and it's just a natural spot to sit down. And when the trail was open, which it isn't anymore because they rerouted it, people would come by, and every once in a while someone who was, well connected, to the natural environment, would, apologize for, interrupting, the what they thought was, my special time there. But actually, I assure them that, the woods were there for all of us, to use however, whatever fashion that we'd like to. And so now it's much more private, and, I've done some additional energy work there and over a period of time, and it's where I recharge myself after a week at work, or sometimes 2 weeks before I get there, depending on what the weather is and the time frame. Mm-hmm. So it's just like drawing the source of the earth energy, and they're there to help us out. We just have to be open to it.
Yeah, that's true. And it's really interesting, too, that that it's interesting you have your own nature sanctuary for, just to give it a name. I imagine you also have a sanctuary within, your home as well.
I do. Outside, I have a nature sanctuary, which I learned, from the folks down in Virginia, Carolandra, that you could invite the nature spirits to a specific place on your lot. It doesn't have to be very big. My backyard isn't all that large. When the children were growing up, I asked Michelle, who is the caretaker and, the driving force of Carolandra, what did she recommend? And in one of her books, she said that you could have your nature sanctuary in a tree, and you didn't have a place to fence off. And I invited the nature spirits into this particular tree, and it was the only tree on our lot at that point in time. And I said, from the first branches up, the nature sanctuary. And that's grown over a period of time. And I've done the same thing, you know, invited them, you know, at other people's houses, you know, when they wanted to do that. And if they didn't have a place, then, you know, it would just, you know, use the same tree concept again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, that's very interesting. Would you like to share with our listeners what things have helped you to create the sanctuary? Like, for example, some people would put candles, or they will put little fountains, or whatever. What have you found useful to create a little sanctuary outside or inside your home, or wherever you prefer to meditate? Because I'm assuming in winter, especially when it snows, you're not outside necessarily.
It's when the snow's deep, you know, it takes a little while for me to get back to my nature spot, you know, away
really?
From home. Sometimes, you know, I need to go there, even if it a couple of years ago when I was walking in snowshoe tracks to get there. But, I have a little altar, if you will, that has, you know, many different, you know, objects that have come to me over the years, different places my friends have brought me. In Peruvian tradition, you know, the medicine people carry small stones, sometimes, you know, the size that will fit in your hand, from the mountains, Machu Picchu, Huayna Picchu, Umantai, Salkantay, and several other places.
Yeah.
And their medicine bundles are called mesas, so I have, you know, rocks and minerals and crystals, you know, from many different places. You know, right underneath a collection of flower essences that come from, you know, pretty much around the world at this point in time. And so I use flower essences for balancing, and then I use, you know, crystals and everything else, you know, as, you know, the base for the altar. And there's, you know, sacred objects, you know, from many traditions, you know, from Christianity to Buddhism, and so on.
Things that help you to facilitate or to enhance your experience in journeying or meditating, correct?
Yes, it's sort of like, you know, the anchor place where you would go. And, you know, in my case, every morning and evening, you know, I offer, you know, certain prayers, you know, from, again, from many traditions, because I've learned from the folks in Brazil, you know, they have, you know, Christianity is predominant there, but, you know, one place called the Casa del Ignacio. My Spanish
mm-hmm.
is not all that
mm-hmm. That's
but,
it's good. You got it. You got it right.
Yes. The gentleman there that his given name is I'm not sure what it is, you know, pronounced correctly, but, you know, in America he's known as John of God. So I have some crystals and prayers that are recited at his healing center, and I use those because we've used them in meditations up here. And one's the Our Father in Aramaic, and the others, you know, just for instance, is the Unity Prayer from the, and another is the Great Invocation that came from Alice Bailey's work.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of things that, you know, just sort of resonate, and they shift over a period of time.
And all of this helps you with your guided visualizations and your imagination and connecting with the other side. What do you find that they help you accomplish? I mean, you obviously accomplish something with them, otherwise you wouldn't feel the need to put them there, right?
Yes, they're there for energy balancing, and also for, since, you know, there's a lot of energy, you know, tied up, you know, from their various places that they come from,
right.
Sacred sites. That you can, you know, use in the visualization, or, you know, the imagination, you know, allows me, if I choose to journey back to the origin or to the location, you know, where these, you know, objects came from. And
right.
It's not quite like remote viewing, because I don't necessarily attempt to, be part of the CASA, for instance, to see what's going on there, but I connect with the energy that's there.
Right. That's very interesting. Now, I want to, because the listeners may not be, some of them may be knowledgeable about some of the things you're talking, I would like to touch a little bit on Paralandra, especially because this is a program that's heard worldwide. As a matter of fact, I've been getting some emails and some notifications through, emails and different methods of social media from international groups of people who are listening to our radio. So, like, for example, in France and in Spain and in other parts of the world, are they listening to the program. So I wanted you to explain just briefly what Paralandra is for those people who may not know. It exists here in the Northern Virginia area, but would you like to expand a little bit on what it is and what it's for? I mean, granted, we want to focus on the imagination because I still have some more things to address, but just if you could touch on it a little bit, I think it would help everyone.
Well, Paralandra was started by Michelle Small Wright. I believe it was in about the mid-80s, and it's in Warrenton, Virginia, for a place. And she had studied at Finhorn in Scotland, or Finehorn, depending on how you like to pronounce it. Then she came back to Virginia, and she bought a place. And her partner, Clarence, was with her and still is. And they worked with the spirit of nature, as she did, from what she had learned, and continued to develop, a relationship with the spirits of nature, and made flower essences that reflected, the information that she was getting, from her work, with the nature spirits. And there's several sets of flower essences, and people would come. Well, it's mail order right now, but at one point in time, back in the late 90s up until the early 2000s, she would have open houses, and you could come there and feel the energy of a very balanced and powerful garden that had all this balancing work done by her in conjunction with the spirit of nature, which is the primary focus of places where they are producing flower essences. And when I would go there, it was like recharging myself, even more so than the sacred place that I have in the woods, because there had been so much work done there, with nature. And, I would learn, which flower essences, would help me out. And eventually I bought all the sets of flower essences and then, some of her books to work with. And that's what I use a lot, to achieve, balance is, flower essences, not only from Paralandra, but a place called Green Hope Farm in Meridian, New Hampshire. And the Alaskan Flower Essence Project that comes from Homer, Alaska. So that works for me very well, and it's working for friends of mine, where they're in the shamanic community or just general, healing practices.
Yeah. I was just going to mention that Paralandra is online, so anybody who wants to research it a little bit or is interested in this kind of information, I'm just basically sharing with you the website. It's called Paralandra -LTD.com. So if anybody is interested in their products, they're wonderful. I had the opportunity to visit with Charlie, the gardens, and people go there when they I guess they no longer have open houses. Is that correct, Charlie?
That's correct. Michelle stated that, for the carbon footprint of the people, they were traveling from all around the world. I met people from New Zealand and Japan and everywhere else, Germany, they decided not to have the open houses, personally, but they went to a virtual open house so that people could see what the gardens look like, their computer. And it happens maybe 3 times a year, mostly. Well, it used to be July, August, and September when they were, open, when the gardens were open. And so I think it's, pretty close to that. But I think she might have had one in the spring this past year.
Oh, wow.
So that's how, she's taken the new media in to introduce, people to her work.
Yeah.
See where she's actually operating from.
One of the things I remember when I had gone down there, I remember her doing because she does a presentation with all the people. People get to hang out in the gardens, and they get to buy the products, and you get to eat them there. one of the interesting things I found was how she dedicates part of her garden to the nature spirits, and that is for nature to use, whether it be animals, rabbits or other animals that are living in the area. Some of the garden is dedicated to them, and then other parts of the garden is what they cultivate, and they transform into the these essences that are so wonderful for helping you transform and work within the body. They know what to do and where to go. So I found it very interesting that it was always the interestingly enough, it was always the gardens dedicated to nature that she said had the most magnificent fruits, the most beautiful flowers. It was like nature was saying, okay, I'm going to give myself the best. And that was kind of, I thought, I apologize here. I thought that was a really interesting experience, that nature was very much into producing the most beautiful things for nature itself. So, or Mother Nature was more interested in producing things for its creatures. I thought that was interesting. I never forgot that experience. And sometimes when I go out in the garden, I remember that. So, now without trying to get out of topic, like I said, you have the website for Paralandra-LTD.com if you're interested in looking, getting more information on that. And I believe you can probably order the products online as well. So going back again to our visualization and imagination, how would you say, because there's different aspects of our life, and we try to heal, we try to grow, and we try to oftentimes manifest different things in our lives from the different perspectives, whether it be a personal level, at a business professional level, or at a spiritual level, or at a relationship level, or even a financial level. How do you use, or what would you say some of the benefits are from visualization or imagination? Because in reality, imagination is what allows us to connect to the other side. Visualization is what allows us to develop our imagination.
Well, in the last couple of years, I've been taking information from another former Silva instructor. His name is Raymond, not with a D, Raymond Grace, and he's down in Virginia also, and he's a dowser and a healer, and I'd say there's a little bit of shaman thrown in there as well, and he's always giving us a new perspective on the healing work or the clearing type work that he's doing. And he does, projects now that, they don't generate a whole lot of fanfare. But as he says, you can elect to send healing energy or energy for change to a school or a neighborhood that needs it, and no one will tell you that you can't, because it's done in a good fashion, and there's no fees asked for it or anything else. And his one thing that I remember, and he reiterates it often, is that the form follows thought. So it's it's a variation of the phrase that watch what you think, because you have the power to manifest through those thoughts, whether they be imagination or whether you're having the next step, which is visualizing the end result that you're looking for. You have to be careful of what you ask for, and that's a common thought in the folks that are in the healing modes, and also those that are just teachers.
I guess one way we could look at that is sometimes what we ask for and what we truly need are not the same things. and that can, so that can sometimes result in sometimes in conflict in itself. And you realize, you said, well, I thought this would make me happy, but it doesn't make you happy, because you know what? In the end, happiness is a mental state. It's not a result of physical things necessarily. Physical things can help, but they're not the result of. So that's a good point. What would you say to the listeners would be the purpose of using the imagination? Because you're warning about the fact that what you wish to manifest may not always be the, you have to be careful on how, not only what you wish for, but how you go about wishing it. Because sometimes you're saying, well, I wanted this, but this didn't happen. Well, it turns out that the way you phrased it, you got what you phrased. It might not be what you intended. So you're right. That's very important. In what ways could some of our listeners apply visualization in their daily life? Can you share that with us a little bit? Or, for example, you can give us an example of how you share it in your daily life. Let's say for problem solving, for example, at work, or for problem solving in relationships, or for problem solving within the family, et cetera, et cetera. Whichever of those areas you want to address is fine.
It's a good question, because as things change from day to day, your perspective changes.
True. That's very true. It's a good point.
Just something for a simple thing recently is, I'm taking a recertification at work that involves, electronics principles and things, some that I haven't, had to indulge in since my Navy days, when the beginning of solid-state electronics was coming out, and that was in the early 1970s. And here I am again, just about 40 years later, having the same thing coming back. Nothing has changed in the theoretical concepts, but I have a little apprehension, because will I remember it or not? So what I do is I always ask for assistance, from guides, guardian spirits, and then I also ask for my higher self to come on and give me the revamp the information that's within me, so that I can recall it. And, I'll see myself, making, good progress in the course, or, if I'm attempting to, fix something at home that I have little knowledge of, I'll ask, for, insight, how to do that. And then sometimes the visual will come up, and other times, they'll just, make me work through it. And I say they, the spirit guides and things that I've asked, for assistance for, because I found that I had the, they will not give you the answer, immediately if they believe the learning experience is beneficial to you. So, again, not getting exactly what you asked for, but, I'll be getting, an advanced lesson, and then after I'm to a certain point, where I'm about ready to, throw up my arms and, walk away from it, quite often the answer or the way to the answer will come about. So that's part of the test that we all go through, that, we know this should be easier, that, the answer is, almost, at the tip of our fingers, but, there's a process that I believe that we all signed on, for life experience. And until we work through that, and not take the easy route around, that's where, some of the learning practices, and you can visualize all you want, but if you don't put the necessary effort into it, I think that the spirit world will just, keep, tossing the same lesson to you until you do the work that's necessary.
Well, that's interesting, because not only will it keep throwing the same lesson at you, but each time it becomes a little more difficult. So if you don't attend to the mess that you need to clean up in your life, it's similar to what I call a snowball effect. It grows a little bit more each time until you address it. And sometimes it becomes painful, and it isn't until it becomes very painful that you really, really address it. So that's a good point. Anyway.
I visualized an outcome, imagined it. And until, I did enough, work, that, I was capable of doing, there was a lesson always within the lesson. It just didn't pop up, like a magic bubble burst, and there's the answer and everything else. Quite often, I will, if it's something pressing and I'm not getting anywhere, that good old poor dream time suggestion solve the problem or get assistance to where you can solve the problem yourself.
Right.
That works, equally well. And that's what I've told my children, is if you have the problems that, whether they're just, physical or emotional, whatever, put it to rest and ask for the assistance. And quite often it'll come, when you wake up in the morning, and then you'll get the visual. It's sort of like delayed reaction.
Yeah. What would you say to the audience regarding starting to visualize? We addressed a couple of things, which I also want to just briefly touch. And one of the things was that when you do it more and more often, for example, in the beginning with meditation, going to a meditative state and being at that state requires doing it regularly. And the results you get, the visualizations or the journeys, you kind of have to direct yourself to them. But eventually, you no longer have to go into meditation. Eventually, the meditative state becomes part of your state of being. And with that, your journey can happen spontaneously. And it can guide you in many situations. It can direct you at work, with your family, with your friends, with your relationships, with your finances. How would you mention or suggest to the readers that they could start visualization or imagination if they haven't already done so? Because within meditation, there's a difference between just regular meditation, or there's meditation through what I call active meditation, where you actually utilize your mental, you use mental direction and guidance to accomplish a goal. So it requires a certain amount of effort and a certain amount of action, whether it be, you know, of course, being mental. But how, what would you suggest or recommend?
Well, I'd say the first step is to be able to sit down and quiet your mind to where the mind, you know, sort of takes back seat, which is the left brain, to your right brain, your subconscious mind, however you would like to, you know, categorize that. And once the mind is quiet, and that's what, you know, meditation achieves, or you can just sit there, you know, without, you know, any particular intention to get started and just, you know, observe, you know, your breath. And that's something that's common in yoga. And from there, you know, once the mind is quiet and you be kind to yourself while you're doing that in the early stages, and things come up, you just, you know, acknowledge them and then let them pass through. Then you open up, you know, the gates to you know, the other realm, you know, which is, you know, beyond, you know, the our way of thinking that, you know, everything has to be analytical, and the creative processes, you know, can start, you know, whether you're working on a project that, you know, requires, you know, analytical answers, or whether you're just trying to get to the next step in your spiritual development. That quiet mind is, I believe, you know, absolutely necessary in order to get to square one. You have umpteen things on your mind, and you're attempting to, you know, achieve, you know, the level where you're going to, you know, be at your maximum creativity. You know, it's, you're going to be very frustrated because there's just too much interference. For instance, when I receive a message for somebody, you know, in a meditation, or, you know, just, you know, it comes about, you know, if someone's, you know, doing healing work on me, I wait until the whole message is through, you know, before, you know, interpretation, because I found that if you're trying to interpret too actively, you know, using your mental capacity, then the visual or, you know, the audio just shuts down. And then when you relax again, the message will continue. So those are some of the things that I've used and still continue to use in order to receive, you know, information that's, well, it comes, you know, through your higher self, your spirit guides, etc.
Right. It's interesting because one of the ways I also use it, especially with problem solving, is to hold or send out the intent of what my issue or problem is. And oftentimes the response will come in through imagination, through visions, through insight. For example, my book is a clear example of that. Hope Brains Beyond 2012 is a series of visions as well as of other experiences. And some of these experiences that I relate to in the book, I would be driving down the highway and all of a sudden it's like somebody imposes almost transparent, not quite, a screen on top of what I'm seeing in front of me. And then the images are imposed. So there's a large variety and creativity from spirit to provide you the information you need when you need it and how you need it. So yeah, and then the problem, a solution will be provided. And then it's up to you to follow through with the actions to manifest what you're trying to solve. So Which, if you had to, I'm not sure if you can actually do this, but if you had to say that maybe one of your visual experience or from imagination or through visualization, has there been one specific experience that has been the most powerful that impacted you spiritually at all levels of your life or in partial aspects of your life? Do you recall any event of that type, or just gradually merges in with everyday life?
Well, there was one that, when, we were in a group and might have visited that one in Columbia, Maryland, where we would do what was called an energy circle, where all of us would, focus, positive energy on the person in the center. And, what would happen to virtually everyone that would go into the center is that they would receive a visual image, of messages for other people, outside the circle that were sending them energy. And that was a good example of, amplifying, the group energy, for a positive outcome coming from it.
And when you took that information, that knowledge, did that help your spiritual life in some shape or form? Did something, for example, I remember that when I started to meditate, I became gradually more and more empowered, but it was a gradual process. It wasn't spontaneous and all at once. It didn't happen overnight. In some cases, it can, but not necessarily. So through a series of continuous meditation, 3 times a day, 15 minutes each time, when I went away for the summer, and when I came back, my personality, being extremely shy and introverted, had completely been transformed to a more outgoing, more extrovert person. The way I dressed even changed. I became a little more with the times, and my personality became more social, more interactive, and more empowered and more able to take charge of my own life and overcome and address and face my fears. Have you had an experience like that that you would like to share?
Well, the empowering part is that with the different visual experiences and that were messages for other people that I was basically directed to deliver and let go of, with each time the surge of energy that came through would validate, the experience that I was having, because one cannot, have, a visual experience that has, significance without feeling the power that's the vibrational energy, if you will, that's attached to it.
Yeah,
your body vibrates, at a higher frequency, and just feel like you're charged up to the max. And that's what would happen, when healers would work on me from time to time, and the visual that would come through, which was kind of scary at first, is I would see them, doing healing work in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, it would quite often be, in full color, and I would be able to just deliver the visual experience to them. I think it was, because the message was for them, it was to be, a confirmation that their skills were not only of great importance now, but, they were coming back one again to, from previous experiences in other lifetimes to, help out, in this time, of great change.
Yes, yes. And one of the things also, I think that by being able to verify and validate what you're perceiving is very empowering for accepting and recognizing spiritual guidance when it's received or given, because I understand, and I've known people who study different methods of meditation or different techniques for spiritual development and growth. And they're like, well, how do I know that what I'm perceiving is true? How do I know that it's not my imagination? Well, guess what? Your imagination is your bridge to connecting with spirit. However, they had that lack of feedback and confirmation that the information we're getting, it was inaccurate. So that when you get more powerful insights, more powerful guidance, you can sometimes be confused and unclear. So thanks for bringing that up. Basically, I guess, I don't know if there's anything specific that you would like to share with the audience. We are getting close to the end of the show, but if there's anything that you maybe have not touched upon that you feel is worth mentioning to the audience then, or to the listeners, and you'd like to share that, we could do that now for closing.
Well, I think when you have, you know, experiences that are beyond the normal realms of, you know, say like your peer group or your family, you know, seek out, you know, people that, and other, you know, communal gatherings or individually that have the same experiences, and that will help you be able to, you know, process the information and know that, you know, you're not just the only person out there that's going through this transformation. There's lots of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'll help you continue on, you know, without shutting down and trying to become who you were when you're going through the transformation to the new person that you're becoming.
Right. Well, good points. We'll be, before we go, I'd like to close with wishing everyone in our audience a wonderful, wonderful week. We hope that the conversation that Charlie and I have shared with you has is of value to you. And if you have questions regarding any of the things we mentioned or that we talked about, even about meditation, things that we might not have covered, you're welcome to go to the website on researchcia.com, and you can email or you can blog. The same is true for BBS Radio. Also, I want to thank again those our listeners for sending in emails and telling us what they like, how they like the show, and you know, just saying hi and letting us know that they're out there and they're listening. So I'm very grateful for that. And also the people who provide us with donations to keep the work going, much gratitude and thank you for that. Those of you who, for whatever financial reason, can't, well, God bless you, and may God resolve your financial concerns as well. That being said, I hope you join us. Charlie, I would like to invite you next for another time, maybe down the road, and we can discuss another wonderful topic, because I know you have a variety of knowledge, and maybe we can talk a little bit about shamanism and some of your nature experiences with our group. So that invitation is left for you, and have a wonderful week, everyone. See you next Monday.